Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is customization problems with the IBM debug tool for COS. Today's presenter is Thomas Soriano. Thomas joined the debug tool development in 1997 and transferred to level 2 support in 2002. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Thomas.
Thank you, Joseph, for your introduction. Good morning, everybody. This is Thomas Soriano, and today I'd like to talk about customization and setup problems with the debug tool. We got a fair amount of information I'd like to cover, so let's move on to page 2, please. Now, customization covers a wide spectrum of issues, and debug tool does ship a separate customization manual that covers topics like installing SVC, setting up the ISPS interface, tailoring for subsystems like CICS, IMS, DB2, and any of these subjects, quite frankly, could merit its own hour-long discussion. But for this hour, what I want to do is cover some topics that have gotten particular interest from our customers as I've worked on customer PMRs. So today what I'd like to do is I'd like to discuss an important module called the EQA OPTS, or EQA Ops, as I call it, which is used for many types of settings that take effect during the debug tool initialization phase. Next, I'll discuss a topic that I've had several customers ask about while debugging CICS applications, and that's the use of the set save and set restore commands. Finally, I'll provide some customization tips for the use of remote debug, i.e. the WDZ and RDZ debugging clients, and also some hints and tips regarding improvement of performance. Please turn now to page 3. As I said, I've selected these topics based on the types of feedback that I've gotten from customers and I'm not intending this discussion to be a step-by-step installation guide. Would you please turn now to page 4? Now, our first topic, as I stated, will be the EQA Ops module, which is an assembler program that you use to establish settings that you want to use throughout your debugging session. Now, all of these options that I'm going to be talking today about are discussed at length in the debug tool customization guide and also summarized in the debug tool reference summary. Please turn now to page 5. Just a few points I want to make here. There is already an EQA Ops module that is shipped in the SEQA mod dataset, and this EQA Ops module contains the defaults that debug tool will run without you doing any customization. The tailorable EQA Ops that I'll be talking about is an assembler source program that is shipped in the samples library, SEQA SAMP. So please turn to page 6 now. And here I show the assembler source program of EQA Ops. Each of the lines that begins with the keyword EQA XOPT designates a specific setting. Once you've added all the settings that you want to use, then you assemble and link this module and then concatenate this in front of your existing SEQA mod in order to override the default EQA Ops. Now, one caveat I want to mention here, when you install a new debug tool PTF or migrate to a new debug tool version, you're most likely going to be replacing the SEQA mod dataset. So be sure that you don't accidentally overlay your private customized EQA Ops, or if necessary, refresh your private EQA Ops. Let's look at the different customization problems that can be addressed by EQA Ops settings. Let's go on to page 7. Now, in the following charts, I have a basic format here. For each of the examples, I'm going to pose a potential problem, and then I show the EQA Ops option that helps address this problem, and then I provide a little coding example of how you would code it in the assembler source. Now, this first problem concerns performance while debugging CICS programs. Now, by design, debug tool uses cache memory to store information for up to 10 programs. This does help performance if the transaction uses 10 or less programs, but if it has more than 10 programs, then performance may be impacted. So with the cache num option, you can specify how many programs you want the ebook tool to store information for at a time, rather than having the ebook tool going back and forth to get more program information. If you look at my example, I'm specifying 15. So the ebook tool will get information for 15 programs at one swipe. Okay, let's move on to page 8. Now, page 8, I have to apologize. Page 8 is an error. This command here, set ignore link, is actually not an option of EQAOps. It's a separate command. It's an important command. It's used to help improve performance while debugging CICS applications. And I will be discussing ignore link later in my performance segment. So again, I apologize for this error, and I will get that fixed immediately. For now, let's move on to page 9. Now, a little bit of background for this option, the code page option. Back in the day, to support remote debug in the Japanese language, there were two new options that were added to the LE test runtime string. That was the VAD SCP-939 and VAD SCP-930. 939 and 930 corresponding to the Japanese code pages. At the time, these options occupied the same position as the command's file parameter in the test, in the LE test string. And that was okay for the earlier versions of Debug Tool because at the time, preferences and command files weren't supported for remote debug. Well, the latest versions of Debug Tool do support commands and preferences files for remote debug. So this position in the LE test parameter had to be freed up. So now when you want to designate national language code pages, you use this code page option of EQAOps. Now, just a side note, I was talking about remote debug, but I can think of one scenario in which code page is useful in 3270 or full screen mode. Say you're debugging a C program, and your ZOS host session is running the 037 code page, which is the common English default code page. But say your C program really needs to be running in the 1047 English code page. And because those things are out of sync, some of those characters like square brackets may not display correctly. They may look like dots or something. So what you can do is you can use this code page option to specify the correct code page that you need so that now your host emulator and your the C program debugging session will now be in sync. Okay, let's go on to page 10. Now, when a program contains embedded macros, you may or may not want to expand these macros while debugging. This is especially important if you're using system macros that have really long expansions. Okay, with the default view option, you can suppress the expansions by using the no macgen sub option. So let's move on to page 11 where I have a little example. Okay, in this example, I'm running with the default view sub option. And you can see that the CEE entry macro has been expanded. If you take a look at my example, you see a lot of lines with plus signs in them. That's the expansion part. Let's move on now to page 12. And on page 12, I'm now running with the no macgen sub option. Now you see that the CEE entry expansion has been suppressed, and that makes it a little easier for me to view and scroll through my assembler program. Okay, let's move on to page 13 now. In the beginning, a debug tool provided preferences files that allowed you to execute debugging commands during debug tool initialization, things like setting your PF keys, your colors, window sizes, things like that. But the thing is, every user had to define their own private preferences file. Well, say you're the system administrator and you wanted to find a set of standard settings for your organization. Well, now you can define a global preferences file, which is, you know, the same format as a regular preferences file, and specify the data set name of that file in the GPF DSN option, the Global Preferences File data set name. Now, even though your site is using the Global Preferences File, you can still, as a user, override some of those settings by having your own private preferences file. Okay, let's move on to page 14. Now, with the introduction of non-LE debugging support, we allowed customers to debug older non-LE applications written in, say, non-LE assembler or OS VS COBOL. And as a side note, I'm going to be discussing another option called SVC screen later, which is also related to non-LE support. But the problem was that this support, how shall I say, was not really discerning. So sometimes other non-LE programs might get targeted by Debug Tool for debugging. Debug Tool already has internal filters that prevent it from debugging IBM system code, but users needed help with their own private non-LE routines. With the names exclude option, this allows the user to specify which programs you want to avoid debugging, and you can specify exclusions at the load module level or at the specific control unit level. In my examples, you can see that you're also allowed to use an asterisk so that you can specify partially qualified names. I should note a typo in my example. The first example there that says EQAX opt names, comma, exclude, comma, mod, asterisk. There should be a keyword called load mod. The program I want to exclude, or the programs I want to exclude start with the letters M-O-D, but they're load modules. So there should be a keyword of load mod. So I apologize for that. Let's look at the other side of the names command by moving on to page 15. Okay, now when Debug Tool tries to avoid debugging system modules, what it does is it checks the three-letter prefix to see if it corresponds to an IBM product prefix, for example, EQA or CEE, etc. But what if you have a program that starts with an IBM prefix like CEE or EQA? You still want to debug that, right? So what you do is you use the names include option in order to override Debug Tool's filtering behavior. Now, just one little caveat, be very careful to avoid saying something too generic like include CEE asterisk, because then Debug Tool will start going after system code like CEE being the LE modules. As a general recommendation, try to be as explicit and specific as you can when using the names include option. Okay, let's move on to page 16. Okay, as I'm sure you're all aware, Debug Tool provides several user interfaces such as full screen mode, a remote debug, terminal interface manager. But what if say there's a network problem and the client that you want to use is not available? Well, Debug Tool has default behavior if this does occur. Namely, if you're trying to debug in remote debug mode, i.e. the GUI client, and you're unable to access the GUI client, Debug Tool will default into full screen or 3270 mode. But if you're trying to debug with a remote 3270 VTAM session, Debug Tool will halt with a user 4038 code. Now, some users didn't really mind remote debug reverting to full screen mode, but some of them weren't too happy with the program just ending abruptly with the 4038 code when the remote VTAM connection was failing. So let's turn to page 17 to see how we address that. Here we see that we can override this default behavior by using the no display option. And this allows you to default to quit debug, which stops Debug Tool but allows the program to continue running. So even though your debugging session didn't come up, at least your program can run to its conclusion cleanly. Okay, let's move on to page 18. Now, the set save and set restore commands allow you to set allow you to save breakpoint settings and monitor definitions so that you don't have to redefine them when you restart Debug Tool. Now, by default, Debug Tool tries to save and restore these settings from physical data sets by the name of userid.dbgtool.savesets and dbgtool.savebps. Now, there is a file option in set save that allows you to define your own data set names if you want, but we saw that some customers have their own naming conventions that they need to follow. So the save set DSN and save BPS DSN options allow you to define your own names for these data sets that will then be used by your organization. I have a few examples, so let's go on to page 19. In my first example, I'm showing the set save file option and specifying a data set name that way. I could also specify an asterisk with the file option if I want to continue using the default names of DBG Tool Save Sets and DBG Tool Save BPS. Now, in my second example, I'm using the EQA ops parameters to specify other data set names. Okay, let's move on to page 20, where I'm going to go back to discussing non-LE support again. I mentioned SVC screen earlier. Now, it may not be obvious by the name, but SVC screen enables non-LE support. Debug Tool originally had special SVCs used for dynamically inserting debug hooks into a program. And when non-LE support was introduced, there were new SVCs that were needed to implement this. So what the SVC screen on option means is that Debug Tool will try to determine which SVCs to use, i.e. it's going to screen the SVCs to determine if Debug Tool needs to use the LE SVCs or the non-LE SVCs instead of just defaulting to the LE-based SVCs. Let's turn to page 21 and discuss the conflict sub-option of SVC screen. Now, if another program is already using SVC screening, the conflict option specifies what you want Debug Tool to do, and I've listed my chart here, override and no override, and how override will override the current SVC screening, and no override will cause the current SVC screen to take precedence. Now, there are actually a number of scenarios involving combinations of SVC screen on and off and conflict equals override and no override. But unfortunately, our time is limited today, so I can't really review all of them. But I wanted to alert you to a very detailed and very useful table in the customization guide that shows all of the different combinations of SVC screen options and what their effects are. It's in a separate chapter of the customization guide called the SVC screening option. So I highly recommend reviewing that table if you get a chance. Okay, let's continue on to page 22. Okay, now we're going to talk about DTCM, which helps you define a debug profile in CICS. The debugging profile in CICS consists of, well, search criteria, if you will, which can be as generic as you want by using asterisks or blanks. But some customers, they prefer to require that their users be more explicit about what programs that they want to debug and not just let Debug Tool start for any program in the region. So the EQA ops provides a way to require certain fields in DTCM to be entered in order to narrow the number of programs that the user can debug. So I have an example here. Let's move on to page 23. Now, here I list the five different DTCM fields that you can define as being mandatory, namely the IP address, that's the one that you use for remote debugging, the CICS net name, the program ID of your application, the terminal ID where the program is going to run, and then the CICS user ID. Now, if you set any of these options to yes, DTCN will display a message if you try to save a profile before filling in that required field. For example, let's turn to page 24. Okay, now in this example, I'm running with the option DTCN force prog ID equals yes. Namely, I want the program ID to be mandatory. Now, if I leave the program ID fields all blank and then I try to save the profile using PF4, I'm going to get the following result, which I display on page 25. Now, it's a little bit hard to see, but at the bottom of the screen, there is a message, EQA2519E, that says that this field needs to be filled in. And if you look up at the top of this example, the cursor is positioned at the required field, namely the program ID. Okay, let's move on to page 26. Now, usually when you wanted to suppress the CEE messages that appear if you reach a go back or a return, you use the command set test error. But if you want all of your users to avoid these messages, you can use the no prompt suboption of thread term condition instead of having each user issue the set test command individually. So this is kind of a nice little shortcut for the users. Okay, let's move on to page 27. Now, this is actually a somewhat special case option of SVC screen that was implemented to fulfill a certain specific customer need. There are certain products, such as IBM Scope for IMS, that perform their own kind of SVC screening. Unfortunately, this can kind of conflict with Debug Tools' own SVC screening. So the merge option SVC screen was introduced, and it says that if there's another product that uses SVC screening, then save the current SVC environment and then enable both the other product's SVC screening as well as Debug Tools. And then when Debug Tool is terminated, then restore the original environment, namely the other product's SVC screening environment. Okay, let's move on to page 28 now. This is another compatibility option that was implemented for a special customer need. Some of our customers use a language product called Q++, which is based on the Java and C++ languages. And the EQA QPP option helps to establish the proper environment so that customers that use this product are able to use Debug Tool in order to debug Q++ programs. I put that out just for completeness sake because some of our customers do value that product. So let's go on to page 29. For complex ZOS configurations that involve multiple LPARs, it is possible to run the Terminal Interface Manager in each LPAR at the same time. And setting the TIM ACB option is part of the setup for doing that. And just to let you know, the customization guide has a very detailed description on how to set up for using a Terminal Interface Manager for multiple LPARs. Let's move on to page 30 to discuss a little bit further. As I said, the customization guide includes a very detailed description on how to set this up, and it includes how to define a minor node, EQAWSESS, for a particular ACB. Now, in my example, I used ACB name equals EQASESSM, but you can use your own names, which then you would specify in the TIM ACB option. What happens is that for each LPAR that wants to use its own instance of Terminal Interface Manager, it would say, I want ACB name equals Tom, for example, and another LPAR will say, well, I want ACB name equals Larry or something. I mean, I'm being a little facetious, but still, that's kind of the principle of how it works. I want to make one little side note. In my example, you might notice that I have a label called EQASMMIN there, and I've been informed that some customers need to change that label to EQASESSM in order to get that to work. Okay, well, that's all for the EQA ops options, I'd like to switch gears now and discuss a CICS issue that we've had several customers ask questions about. So let's move on to page 31. Okay, as I think I said earlier, set save and set restore are convenient ways to save your settings, breakpoints, and monitors so that you don't have to redefine them when you restart Devoke tool. Well, how shall I say? Because these functions are still relatively new and still kind of undergoing growing pains, if you will, occasionally customers will have some problems. They'll use the go command, for example, and set save might abin, for example. So while IBM, you know, continues to enhance and improve these functions, what I'd like to do is provide a few alternatives and workarounds that you can use if you experience any problems with these commands. So let's move on to page 32. Now, users sometimes report that they see a lot of messages in their log while they're using set save and set restore. And because of a current CICS design, an informational message, IEC050I, indicates that a trunk macro was issued to process a PDSE. Now, why a PDSE? Well, a PDSE can be used to define the save BPS data set. And while it's being processed, this message can occur quite frequently and clutter up the log. So starting with version 8, just for your reference, it's PTF UK39085. You can get around this message by using direct QSAM to access the save sets and save BPS files. There is an init parm option, DFHLETRU equals use QSAM, that's part of that workaround with direct QSAM. Okay, let's move on to page 33. Now, in this chart, I list some ways to use preferences and command files to help redefine settings, breakpoints, and monitors without using the set save or set restore commands if you so choose to. Also, recall that if you're using DTCN, breakpoint information can be retrieved from the TSQs when Devoke tool is restarted. Now, a lot of this info I've put into a tech note, 1286010, which is available from the Debug Tool website. Okay, now I'd like to switch gears again. I'd like to discuss a few hints and tips for working with the remote debugger, namely the WDZ and RDZ clients. So please turn to page 34. Now, in this section, what I'd like to do is show some ways you can resolve certain problems by choosing, by changing settings and taking advantage of features in remote debug. Throughout this section, I'll be describing the features in text mode rather than in with graphic illustrations so as not to impact, you know, the download time of our remote attendees. But I really felt that graphic illustrations were really important and very useful. So what I did was I created an appendix at the back of this package here where I show screen captures of the various features that I'll be discussing. So I just wanted to point that out to you. Okay, let's get started by turning to page 35. And in this chart, I basically summarize all the topics that I'll be discussing in this section and also my comment regarding the screen captures that I have placed in the appendix. So let's just go ahead on to page 36. Okay, EPDC, that's the Execution and Program Data Control. That's the protocol that defines the communication of events between the ZOS host backend and the remote debug client, the GUI front end. In order for IBM to diagnose certain problems with the remote debugger, we often request an EPDC trace. So for your reference, what I've done was I've listed all the steps for activating this trace in my chart above here and how to generate the trace file. Again, please check the appendix for an illustration of this dialog. I think the steps are fairly self-explanatory. You'll click on the file, then select preferences option, et cetera, et cetera. So let's just go on to page 37. Now, occasionally, the DBook Tool user will have a problem with connecting to the remote client. Of course, there are lots of reasons why this can happen, but one of them is if there is a mismatch with the port ID. Now, we started seeing this happening when users were migrating from the distributed debugger, the version 9.2 debugger of Visual Age, which used a default port ID of 8000. And when they migrated to the newer clients in WDZ and RDZ, they found out that the default was 8001. And so in my chart, I just show the steps of how you can bring up a dialog that shows the debug daemon, which allows you to check what port ID that you're using. You can then change that port ID, or you can go back to your LE test runtime option and specify the appropriate port ID. Okay, let's go on to page 38. The debugger tries to save certain settings like breakpoints and monitors and physical files called program profiles. And this is kind of a little convenient so that when you restart your debugger, you see that your breakpoints and your monitors are still there. Well, if you're going through the day and you're doing some pretty heavy-duty debugging, unfortunately, once in a while, these files will get kind of corrupted, and you find that you're seeing kind of inconsistent behavior in Debug Tool, like you're not able to set a breakpoint, for instance, or some statement number is not found. So as a general recommendation, it's kind of a good idea to clean out these program profiles once in a while. They are recreated automatically as soon as you restart your program in remote debug, so there's really no harm in deleting them every once in a while. Again, in my chart, I list the steps on how you can do that. Okay, let's move on to page 39. Now, occasionally users will notice slow reaction time or even abnormalities while stepping through their code. You may be debugging a program that has that's very large or has a lot of very large structures defined in that program. And so as you step through your program, you find the response time is pretty slow. Well, one of the things that you can check out is the variables window. If you are, the variables window can allow you to display all of the variables in your program. And so if you're doing that and you're stepping through your program, each time you step, the variables window is going to be constantly refreshed. So that can cause, you know, more overhead than you want. And so what you can do is there is an option called the filter locals dialog that allows you to be more selective of what information you want to put into the variables window, or sometimes customers will just close the variables window altogether because they're already using the monitors window to monitor specific variables, or they've preferred to use AutoMonitor, for example. Let's talk about the filter locals dialog a little bit more by turning to page 40. Now, what I put in my chart here is the pop-up menu that you will see if you start the filter locals option. And as you can see, filter locals allows you to select which data areas that you want to display. Now, I want to point out that the very first option is all. And what I've noticed is that sometimes when customers are installing the remote debug the first time, the default is all. So you want to be a little bit careful and judicious about the variables window. Again, I suggest using filter locals as a way to reduce the amount of information in that window. Okay, we have one more topic. We have one more concept I want to talk about for remote debug. So let's go on to page 41. And here I discuss an old problem where a warning message is displayed when you reach an exec CICS return statement, namely the CEE0199W message. Now, the initial setting of test is test all, and We generally advise resetting to test error in order to suppress this warning. Now, unlike the 3270 full screen mode interface, the set test error command is not supported in the remote debug interface. If you tried to do that, you would get a message like EQA2428E, which means command not supported. So there is a special dialog in remote debug that allows you to set this change setting from all to error. Now, what I've noticed when I first installed remote debug is that the initial setting is set test all. And you might want to double check that if you install the remote debug for the first time, if you actually prefer to run with set test error. Okay, for our last topic today, I have a few words I'd like to say about performance. So please let's move on to page 42. Now, I could probably spend a whole hour just on performance issues because, you know, it's a very vital concern for all of our users. But I couldn't really let a discussion on customization go by without at least a few hints and tips on performance. So let's move on to page 43. Now, these are two examples of functions that you should be very careful with, that you should only be using them when necessary because they can add considerable overhead to your debugging session. Set frequency is an analysis tool that counts how often each code statement is executed. And as you step through your program, you're causing a lot of extra processing to occur because set frequency is doing its analysis and gathering metrics. Non-LE support, as I described earlier, involves the SVC screening process, and this also entails a lot of extra overhead in order to discern between the different SVCs. And there's also a lot of underlying activity going on, more control errors, more processing, et cetera, that's going on under the cover. So, again, just as a caveat, be careful when you activate non-LE support that you're only doing it because you intend to debug non-LE applications. Okay, let's continue with page 44. Some other hints for improving performance. Dynamic debug has been considerably enhanced to improve CPU usage and the use of storage. And we often recommend dynamic debug over the older compiled in-hooks. We also discussed the cache num option earlier as a way to better handle applications that have a high number of programs. The next two items, again, you should be very careful and judicious about using them. Again, SVC screen is part of the non-LE support, and in general, like I said, be very careful with using non-LE support unless you actually want to debug non-LE programs. And also, the auto monitor, the set auto monitor command has a log option that allows you to save the output into a log file. But again, that can add considerable overhead if your program has lots and lots of variables and lots of very large structures. The log option can actually cause more overhead and slow down your performance. Okay, at this point, and again, this is my error, which I apologize for back on page 8, I should have added the ignore link command. This is a very, very valuable way of reducing the amount of overhead when processing CICS programs that use lots and lots of CICS link commands. The debug tool usually tries to gather up all the information about the linked programs in a CICS application during the initialization phase. But, again, that can cause a lot of extra overhead if your program has a lot of links to a lot of different programs. So the ignore link command activates a kind of an optimization in the internal processing of debug tool to greatly improve the performance for those kinds of programs. Okay, well, that's really the end of my discussion here. Let's move on to page 45 to summarize. We discussed a lot of different issues that can be addressed through customization and careful setup. All this information, as I said earlier, is described in the debug tool documentation, especially the customization guide and the reference and reference summary. There is also www.ibm.com. From there, you can navigate through the software dialogues and bring up the debug tool main website. Okay, and if we move on to page 46, the Webster folks have provided additional online resources here to learn more about WebSphere technology, including webcasts and demos and weekly technical bulletins. Okay, so if we move on to page 47, I think Joseph would like to open up the meeting for questions and answers.
Thank you, Thomas, for a great presentation. At this point, Vicki, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have a question from Janice Winchell.
It's not a question. I just wanted to comment on page 44 where we're showing the compiler options test nunsim sep. Just so everybody knows, when you go to COBOL version 4, those options do get changed. The compiler will generate the new options for you and just give you a warning, but the new options to match that would be no hook, sep, and then we have a choice of EJPD or no EJPD, which allows you to get jump to and go to in optimized code.
Thank you, Janice.
And there are no further questions or comments.
Thank you, Vicki. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.